You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
And we're here, and we're now, and it's we're here. Think about it. It's Off the Edge with me, Cam Jordan. Oh, it's spooky season. Yeah, it's about to be Halloween. Harvest Day for me growing up, which meant, you know, I used to go to church and they used to have activities, but it was like trick-or-treating, but not trick-or-treating. We were, you know, pretty safe. But stay tuned. Stick with me. Don't forget to tune in, tap in, spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your mama, tell your cousin's mama to give us a 5-star rating, leave a review, follow us on Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because today, not only going to cover spooky season, and that's, you know, Halloween, as well as some great things happening, taking over 2 days ago, the Indianapolis Colts game. Tune in, tap in, Off the Edge Podcast with me, Cam J.
Carr to throw. Wants to go deep. He's got Shaheed out there. He's got it. And Shaheed in for the touchdown. 58 yards to give New Orleans the lead.
Let's just get straight to it. Here we go. Saints win. We're back at 4-4. 500 even. Now hopefully we start stacking them wins. We need that chance. It's about that time. We're entering November, and November is prime. It's a lot of rhymes. All right, to take over, we have to be able to have games like we did this past weekend. I think Jonathan Taylor, I think 2021, they did a great job. The tandem that they are going crazy the way that they did. I think they're a good team, and that's sort of what happens. We have great players good teams, and they try to take it out. That being said, we got to win. Played Gardner Minshew 3 different times on 3 different teams now. That's a win and a win and a win. And I feel like I sacked them as well. But that's a whole nother thing. If it is, if it isn't, we'll see what happens. It's okay. Defense will come back. My dog, Paulson Adebo, number 29 for the black and gold. Everything in black and gold just looks great. Interception in the end zone. I was like, get down. Also trying to set up a block for him. And he then reverse takes it all the way to the far side numbers, which – okay, fine, I guess, but we're all in the near side numbers trying to block for you. Takes the far side numbers, scurries up the field for like 30 yards or whatever it is. We'll take it. But let's talk about offense there. Offense was electric. Electric. Tutties everywhere. Alvin Kamara, multiple tutties. Taysom Hill, tutty. Rashid Shaheed, the need for speed. 3 catches, 153 yards, and a tutty. Tutty being a touchdown. Come on, stick with me here. This man was averaging 51 yards a catch. Burners, wheels. Oh, and Derek Carr was putting out them deals. You get a tutty, you get a tutty. Come on, everybody, get in. It's a beautiful thing. It's exciting. It's inspiring. You know, DC 4-time pro bowler. Was talking to him on the bus prior about guys that I'll do my best to forget. He hit me on the sideline like, you gonna remember me. I said, DC, you're a pro bowler. I'm always gonna remember you. You're my quarterback now. I'm always gonna remember you. So that's big gain for our team. That was really like icing on the cake, the way that they were playing, which makes you so excited about our potential. And we have to be able to capture that potential for the next 9 games. Again, sitting at 4-4, we got a lot to fight for as we're sitting atop our division. And I wouldn't say running away with it, but we have a chance here. We have to start stacking these wins ASAP, starting with this upcoming week against Chicago Bears. Now let's move along and move out the way. It'd be remiss of me of saying I've been so blessed to play in this league for the last 13 years. I finally hit my 200th regular season game. I thought I hit a 200, but it was with the playoffs included. So this past weekend was my 200th regular season game, 99th start, which is, I feel like, which is impressive, you know, being from draft class 2011 with so many Hall of Famers, so many GOATs, everybody that, you know, from Cam Newton, the way he changed the game into the field of play to, you know, right after him being Von Miller, who we're going to have on the show later. Let's just talk about his Von Miller. Go. But then, of course, let's just talk about today, spooky season. And I just want to say it's Halloween. So it's Halloween, but it's a Tuesday and it's the trade deadline coming up. A lot of things have already happened. You talk about, you know, the notable would be, you know, Big Cat Leonard Williams from USC getting traded from New York to the Seahawks. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, like I said, maybe I'm biased. I'm just like loyalty. And teams are like commodity. It sort of hurts. I don't know. Like I said, I'm biased because I've been with the New Orleans Saints for 13 years. I'm biased because, you know, my dad, Steve Jordan, Vikings, Ring of Honor, six-time Pro Bowler, was, you know, one clubber when I was over in Central Europe. You know, they were like, "Oh, you're one clubber." I was like, "Sure, I am." You know, when you play for one team, you get a lot of loyalty, or, you know, I feel like there's ties there. Like, all my kids are from New Orleans. You know, all, like, I met my wife in New Orleans. You know, everything that has good to me has happened as a grown man sort of happened in New Orleans. So, you know, the city has embraced me just like I've embraced the city. So I would be devastated if I was ever traded. Now, have I seen, you know, trade rumors with my name attached to them? Sure, up plenty. You know, over the years, right before I signed my first, well, technically my second deal, but my first deal after being drafted by the Saints, you know, there was rumors going around I could be traded. And I went up top. I was like, "Hey, is that true?" And they were like, "No, but if there's a good deal for both of us, we're probably, you know, we could be open to it." And I was like, I was like, "You send me anywhere cold, like, that's it for me." And they laughed, and I was serious, and, you know, it is what it is. 8, 9 years later, I'm still a Saint. You know, I think the year 7 or 8 or whatever that was, there were some trade rumors going up there. And by that time, I'm balling, and I've made enough to never have to work again. As my dad would say it, I've got to leave me alone money. And that's the abridged, kinder version. And I don't know what that means, but it means I was able to dictate a lot of things. Like, if you trade me, I will retire. And they were like, "No, you wouldn't retire." I was like, "No, I would. Like, right now I'm on a legacy vibe." Anyways, sorry, I'm gonna have to go on. And what I really want to just turn to is Halloween. And let's just talk about, you know, who sets the ideas up for Halloween. My first couple of years with a young family, it was me. My first, I always enjoyed, you know, my older brother flying in when I first got to the league. He would fly in one year. I was like Superman. He was Batman or whatever that was. My boys would fly in and we'd have great Halloween times. Now I'm a family man. So the Halloween dynamic has changed. You know, now we go trick or treating and now all the kids can walk. I'm sort of excited. My youngest is 2. She can walk now. She can talk now. She's going to be cute. She's going to be like little Toad from Super Mario World, the whatever that is. She's going to be a little Toad situation. Cute little thing, right? Then Nia, of course, is the little magician, wizard, Koopa Troopa. Cute little thing, right? Then my daughter is Princess Peach because my oldest daughter is Princess Peach because she's a queen in her mind. She's a princess, but in her mind, she's a queen. Then, of course, my son, Tank, Mario, wife, Luigi, and I'm Bowser. So that's what the family situation is. She did it all. The last 2 years, I've been hands-off on this. I get control of Christmas onesies, and that's what I'm known for. I let her do it last year. It is what it is. But that being said, as we're going trick-or-treating, let's just talk about some of the best candy involved here. Like, best candy? Twix, Payday, Snickers, Sour Patch Kids, Swedish Fish are good go-tos. In fact, this time of year, you get excited. Sometimes you'll find them good, you know, them relic candies, them Sixlets, Gobstoppers. On the flip side, worst candy, you'd say candy corn. Those scary people that eat candy corn. Like, I'm not saying that
I like you fully bought into Halloween. That's the only thought I have. And like candy corn, how old are you to like candy corn? Like, I assume your next favorite candy is Werther's Originals. And then after that is that random strawberry tinfoil candy. Tell me what decade you're from for you to think candy corn is delicious. Cause you just didn't have a lot of options in my mind. It was probably like 1940, 1930 something. Halloween, it just like really hit mainstream. And you were like, ooh, this wonderful confectioner's sweet candy corn. Or like those weird people that put like saltwater taffy out. I don't even know what flavor this is. I don't want it. Bring me what's great. Snickers, Twix. But anyways, I'm excited. I'm excited for everything that's going to happen down tonight with the fam. I'm excited to bring on my next guest, which of course is the legendary Von Miller. Stay tuned, tap in, Off the Edge with me, Cam Jordan.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, appreciate you for tapping in. Legendary Von Miller, Von Bilsner, a hope and a hero, draft class 2011, legend, number two overall. My man's got, leading active sack leader, if that's how you word that, 123 and a half sacks in a career. Stop playing with him. We clearly played the same timeline, draft class, same year, coming from Texas A&M, where you're all American over there, coming to the pros, where you're a multiple all-pro, eight-time pro bowler. The accolades go on and on. You know, Super Bowl MVP, two-time Super Bowl champion. I don't even know what it feels like to wear a ring that says I've won something at a high level, because you've won them all. bro, there's nothing that you haven't done. Appreciate you for tapping into Off the Edge, bro.
Man, Cam, I appreciate you for having me, man. Like you said, it's been a long time, man. You know, that intro was kind of long-winded. I'd rather you just say Von Miller, the chicken farmer.
Nah. Hey, take care of your mentals, take care of your chickens. But nah, bro, all them accolades you got. In fact, I left out a couple. Like, 2010s, all-decade NFL team. Stop playing. And see, that's what legends are allowed to do. You can downplay the greatness. I'm not going to downplay it, bro. I'm here to hype it up. I appreciate you tapping in just because, you know what I'm saying? The fact that, you have the Von Miller Pass Rush Summit, bro. You started that. It's you're a rally point, bro. Like you're one of the greats, and everybody wants a little, piece of your time. So I appreciate you giving me.
Man, it's all love and respect, Cam. You know that, man. From day one, man, we've been locked in. It's been all good vibes from, here, LA, New York, whether it might even be Paris, where I might even run to you, man. So
no doubt,
it's all good. It's all love, man. I appreciate you for having me, man. And if I remember, you said God leading sacks. If I can remember right, I think you was six behind me?
Man, so yeah, like probably six and a half at this
six
point.
Six and a half?
Yeah, no, man.
Who's keeping score, man?
No. Oh!
Who's keeping score?
That's what I'm saying, legendary. Bro, I want to know, we've talked about our mentalities at your Pass Rush Summit Camp, but I just want to know, how is it that your elite is so, like, your get off is so elite? What goes into that? Like, I'm always keying like play clock behind the offensive lineman, yeah, or knowing where a quarterback likes to hike within that situation. But for you, is it just awareness? Is it reacting off of offensive line? Like, what is it that entails your get off versus what I do?
Man, from going to the Pass Rush Summit, I look at Whatever. You know, whatever information I can get, whether that's the play clock, whether that's formation, whether that's the right tackle or the right guard or the center or the left tackle and the left guard, like I'm looking for whatever I can get to really help me with a good get off. It might be the center's heels. He might be, because sometimes these 300 pounders, they need a little bit of help to like get out of there. Sometimes it might be the quarterback under center, you know, especially the tall quarterbacks. They like the, you know, crowd underneath there, and they have to move before they really hike the ball to get where they want to go. So I just try to look at whatever I can get, man. And it's hard to have, it's hard to have 11 guys on the same schedule. It's hard to have 11 guys saying the same thing. You know, I like to get a little bit of information from whoever's going to give it to me.
Mm. Yeah. So you do all that during film breakdown, you to get whatever you got. What Denzel say? He said, I came in here. I'm not leaving out something. I'm going to leave or something.
All right, I'm going to use everything I got. Sometimes it might just be in the game. You know, it might be all the way up to that first or second snap, you know, and then, you know, if I can't find any information, then it's I'm guessing, you know. I ain't afraid to say it. You know, I hate to word it like that. Let me word it like this. I anticipate yeah. The snap count. So
sometimes it's a little gamble, you know. Yeah, sometimes you gamble, take information, man. And I'm trying to hit that blackjack. Oh, I was
gambling, man. Out of all the pass rushes, if I jump off sides, you know, two or three times a season, like I'm okay with that.
Right.
I'm okay with two or three offsides a season. You know, if that's gonna help me get, you know, two or three more sacks, I will pay my taxes, man. And I'm okay with jumping offside. Sorry, coach. It'll never be on third and five, though. I tell you that right now. It'll never be on third and five.
Yeah, but, I'll be on that third and eight, third and nine. Yeah, where
I'm gonna pull the trigger though for sure.
I love that, bro. So you know, trade deadline coming up. I was talking about it earlier on the show, but you know, just I've never been traded. You know, you were a Denver legend, and then got mm-hmm. traded to the Rams. What is it? And now you're over at the Bills. But like, what does it feel like being traded? One and just the process. Like, I don't even know who I'd call. Yes. To be like, hey, move my stuff, take care of my family. I got a game I got to play next week, and everything that I know and have known for years, got to figure it out.
Man, like, I would tell you this. They will figure it out in a short period of time. whether it's the equipment guys, whether it's your agent, you know, whether it's your assistant or whoever, they will, I'm telling you, they will figure it out. And it feels like, honestly, it feels like your girlfriend just roll over and look at you and just say, oh, I don't love you no more. I'm going to go get somebody else. You know, that's what it feels like. It has like that. I was heartbroken, man. Like, you know, yeah. I felt like I was going to be like the Larry Fitzgerald of, you know, how Larry Fitzgerald was for the Cardinals. Like, no matter how good it was, he was there. No matter how bad it was, you know, he was there. You know, I think right. he played 16 or 18 years and he was there. You know, whether he was playing well or whether he was just, you know, mediocre, his whole phase, he was there. And I thought that would be me. You know, obviously that didn't happen. But it felt like I was, when they told me, so that morning, right, they, I had no idea, for one. Like, you know, sometimes guys, they have like an idea. Sometimes it might be their agent.
Rumors, little echo.
I didn't have a whisper. Me and my agent, we didn't have anything. I didn't have any. They kept it all secret. And I go into the office right after the game on Sunday. I didn't play in that game. I was in the training room getting my ankle worked on. And the head trainer was like, hey, man, George Payton. He was like, man, George want to see you upstairs. And I looked at him. I was like, hey, why don't George come down here? Like, I'm in the training room. He's like, I think, you know, George wants to talk to you up there. So immediately I knew that I was getting traded. So I grabbed all my stuff, and it just felt so, every single step, it just felt like, dang, what's going on, man? It felt like I was going to the principal office. I get up in there. I sit down in the seat across from George Payton's desk. He presses a little button. So he had like a little button on his thing, and he pressed it, and the door closed behind me, and I sat down, and he said, hey, Vaughn, how's your ankle? And I was like, man, ankle's good. He's like, you'll be able to play this coming week if you can play. I was like, yeah, I'll be ready to go. I just gonna miss one game. He's like, okay, yeah, well, that's good. Well, I would like to tell you that we are trading you to the Los Angeles Rams, just like that.
How you gonna ask me about my ankle if you?
You know, obviously had to check and see if, you know, I was healthy, but Right. I was healthy, man. And, you know, he told me that, you know, the Broncos are a long way away from winning. You know, I'm ready to win right now. Gave me the whole spiel. Like, man, we're sending you to LA Rams. And I was like, man, how am I going to fit over there with Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey? Because this is my 11th year in the league. I know how caps work. You know, I know, like,
right.
You know, I know how it goes. So I'm like, man, they got Matthew Stafford, Andrew Whitworth, Leonard Floyd,
Cooper Kupp, Cooper Robert Kupp. Woods.
I'm like, bro, like, how am I going to fit in there? He was like, oh, well, we're going to pay your salary. We're going to pay your whole salary. We just, you know, we need the draft picks. They need you to top off their rush. And, you know, it's a win-win. I was like, really? He was like, do you not want to go to L.A.? I was like, yeah, I'll go to L.A. Basically, he was saying, you can go anywhere.
We'll find someone else.
You can go anywhere, but you just got to get up out of here. Bro. Oh. So it was. I cried. I actually cried. I had. It was like it wasn't like a small tear either, though. It was like a 45-minute like crying spell. Like you had said, like as you know, like my whole life has been Denver Broncos. I spent a whole third of my life. Ten and a half years with the Denver Broncos. I was 32. I was 32 at the time. I had spent a third of my life in Denver. Won a Super Bowl there. I had my first son there. Had my house there. I had everything. I was rooted. I had truly bought into being a Coloradan. I used to go fly fishing and, you know, the whole thing.
Your chicken farm ain't out there, though.
No, my chicken farm. It was, you know, so they had, they was like, man, you going to go? And I got on the phone with Coach McVay and, Coach McVay, he made me feel better when I got on the phone with Coach McVay. He was like, hey, man, like, we need you, man. Let's go win a Super Bowl. And the crazy thing is, like, four and a half or 6 years ago, I was in a club in L.A., and I had ran into Coach McVay. What was the coach with the Arizona Cardinals?
Cliff Kingsbury.
He was with Cliff Kingsbury, Coach McVay. And it was another coach. They was in there having a good old time. And I was in the club. I was still with the Denver Broncos. I was like, hey, man, like, you know, I was just, you know how you have a couple of drinks. Hey, man, like, hey, come on, man, pick me up, man. Like, let's go win Super Bowl. Like, let's go win Super Bowl. Come get me, man. Pair me up with AD. And you know how you just be in the club. He remembered that. And on the phone, he was like, hey, man, we come a long way from just in the club about winning the Super Bowl. He was like, come on over here, man. Let's make it happen. So he made me feel better. You know, I went home, I started looking around, like my whole house, like I built it from the ground up. Like my whole house is all Denver, had all these memories and game balls and stuff. And I had left, they kicked me out of the facility so fast that they had to come to my house. The media team had to come to my house to have me do my farewell to Denver and the Denver Broncos. So I did that, a couple of more tears fell. I went out to Benihana's because that's one of my favorite spots to go in Denver. You know, when you say Benihana's, like, you know, but this one is top of the line. Every time I go there, all the food is great. So this is one of my favorite spots to go to Benihana's, me and Melvin Gordon. And he just kept looking at me like, damn, bro. He kept saying like, damn, bro, you really gone? And I'm like, yeah, bro, like, I'm really gone. I fell asleep. I had a real early flight to go to L.A., and I remember falling asleep, and I woke up the next morning to catch my flight, and I was like, damn, this is real. Like, I'm really going to L.A. I hopped on the flight. When I got on the plane, I was like, man, like, I'm taking off. I'm watching all, like, the mountains. And I'm telling him, like, hey, man, like, when I land this plane, I'm done with this Denver Broncos stuff. I'm just going to compartmentalize it. I'm not going to look back on it. Like, that chapter of my life is done. When I land in L.A., I'm a Los Angeles Ram. I'm playing with Aaron Donald, and it's time to win a Super Bowl. So I fell asleep on the plane, and when I woke up, they had their social media team and Rampage, the Ram, he was there, and you know, everybody was so excited to see me. And I'm like, man, I'm a Los Angeles Ram. And I had spent so much time in L.A. All my friends and everybody that I knew in L.A., it was just it was amazing, man. And, you know, we go win a Super Bowl.
And you go win a Super Bowl that same year.
Yeah,
and it really could have been a throw up, like between you, man, Odell, yeah. Aaron, like that first, like it could have been an MVP tie for me.
And Cooper Odell came the next week, so You know, even if I did have like a little hangover from wanting to be a Denver Bronco, like Odell came the very next week after that.
The homies was there.
And it was like, bro, like this is where I'm at, man. I'm enjoying it, man. Like we lost our first three games when I came. It was like I left Denver, we was losing, and I go to the Rams and we lose our first three games, and then we got it together, man. And you know, LA is always LA, whether you win or lose, man. And I just remember feeling rejuvenated. I feel like the city of LA brought me back, playing with Aaron Donald brought me back. Being on a competitive team, it like rejuvenated me, man. Like, and I enjoy it. Playing in SoFi, it's the greatest stadium in our league, maybe even in the world, man. It's a great stadium, and that was my home stadium. And
yeah, you've played in New Orleans. You've heard how loud our fans get.
You know, Cam, it's not about loud. It's not about loud because SoFi was never loud like that. I'm just saying, like, brand new. It's brand a party. New. They got the Boosie Bellows down there in the end zone. Like, it was, you know, it was vibing. Jay-Z coming to the game.
An experience. Yeah. Because people go over there. People go to SoFi to enjoy the experience.
Yeah.
They're not screaming from their heart and their soul. They're screaming from like the top of their lungs.
No, I give you that. Even with the Super Bowl, it didn't even feel like a Super Bowl. It felt like a dinner party. Like it felt like you got all the rich people to hear to watch the best NFL team play, and it never really got loud. But a Super Bowl is a Super Bowl, man. No matter where it's at, man. It could be in Madagascar.
You tell me. Like you tell me.
It could be in Madagascar. Those juices gonna flow, man. But it hurt at first being traded. It hurt, but that 3 months I needed that, man, and it ended up being really, really good for me, man. For
sure. Out of your two, which one do you like more?
So it's kind of like, you know, I always say, like, it's like having two kids. Like, you got kids, I got kids. I love them.
I only got one son. I got one legacy retainer. Don't play with me. You got two boys. You know what I'm saying? I got one boy, three girls. They're going to know their last name. I hear you.
But I got two boys. So it feels like I love them both, man. They two completely different, but I love them both the same. Like, Val is my firstborn. Super Bowl 50. I won Super Bowl MVPs with the Denver Broncos. Super Bowl 56 victory. That's my second son. And I got to play with Aaron Donald and Coach McVay and all these guys. Coach McVay, man, like, he is a hell of a coach, but I feel like he is a veteran player's coach. He just understands what the guys need. He understood when we was tired. He understood when we needed a pep talk. He understood when we needed a day off, when we needed half a day. Or Coach McVay and the team that we had, like, you know, he could do that. He could give us, you know, half days, and we would go out there and play well and win. So it wasn't like, you know, he was just, you know, on my team, sorry, like, give him the day off so it won't be too stressful on him. Like, we was winning, so he took the load off so we can go extra hard in the game, and it worked for us.
And then you signed. I remember talking to you this before you signed to the Bills. You're like, man, I think I'm going back to the Rams. Next thing I know, you go to the Bills.
Yeah.
I'm like, legendary 6-year deal. And we talked, you know, we talked about it, bro. You was like, I'm trying to play to year, you know, 18, 19, 20, yeah. Bruce Smith, you know, is that still the plan? You still on that 18, 19, 20 years?
That is my plan as a human being.
Bro, you're my hero.
You know, God has, my mom always said, if you want to make God laugh, start making plans. So that's what I want to do. Whatever God has for me, I'm going to take I'm going to take it with my chest up and with my chest out and my head up high, man. I'm already beat the game. I'm already won the game. Now we going back for the extra little like incentives to unlock this character and to unlock this skin. Like, I'm already beat the game, but now I'm just trying to like have total domination in the game. So with the Bills, it's obtainable, man. Like, we got a great quarterback. We got a great facility. We got a great system. Being our GM is amazing, man. And you know, if it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen here with the Buffalo Bills. I will say this: if I end up having them to leave, and if I get traded again, or if anything else happens, I will say this: I'm done, man. I'm done, man. Like, Bills, this is my last stop. I'm not picking them back up and tying them up for nobody else. This is my last stop. So either I'm here for the whole six, or whenever it's done here, is done. I will say that.
Oh, And that's, I'll say, so you play with Peyton Manning over at Denver. You've won a Super Bowl there. You played with Matt Stafford over at the Rams. For the longest time, I would call him Matt Safford. I don't know why I messed up his last name. That was on me.
It's the two L's.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what I did to mess that up. But I was like, no, it's Matt. And I had real argument, and they got corrected. And now you're playing with Josh Allen. You know, at the beginning of the year, you said he's probably a front runner for the MVP conversation. Yep. Like, how do you feel about those quarterbacks? Is there a difference in terms of this huge, probably a huge cerebral difference from Peyton Manning, because he's just one of the most brilliant minds in the game, to Matt Stafford, to now, you know, Josh Allen? Do you think Josh Allen's still a MVP front runner? And two, like, what was the difference between Super Bowl championship years and this year and now?
So, all three of those quarterbacks that you mentioned, they have some similarities, and they're different in a lot of ways as well. I think the similarities, we would say they all have this persona about them. They all have like this energy about them that when they get out there, it's never really over. Even if it says it's over, even if we're down by 17, whatever it says is never really over. It's just a moment. We're waiting on a moment for them to click and put together 8 to 10 plays, and the game will totally change. All three of them have that ability to do that. And they do it in different ways, of course, but they all have that ability to do that. Personalities were totally different, except for the energy component that I was talking about with all three quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford was a little bit, he was more quiet. Peyton Manning, he talked all the time, but it was all business, 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 business. Mm-hmm. And when you have that sense of urgency to go out there and win a Super Bowl, it's okay if it's all business, business, business. Like, I don't mind it. I just want to win. I don't have no pride in none of this. I just want to win. And I think with Josh Allen, bro, he's a D lineman, bro. He's one of the guys. Like, he's one of the guys. If you didn't know what position he played, and we just walking around, and his personality will fit right in the defensive line room with us, Cam. Like, he's one of the guys. He's gonna joke. He's not gonna take things too serious. Like, if we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. He has this confidence about him that even if we do lose, like, he knows. He knows the type of player that he is. We all know what type of player he is, and you're not going to win them all. And I would say the similarities to the teams that we have, the Super Bowl teams, is, man, we on all three of those teams, those two teams, the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Rams, and here with the Buffalo Bills, we don't have one on all three of those teams. We never had that. If I could say, lack of better words, we never had a head in there. Like, that was all about himself and all about like his contract or him being hurt or him trying to win or him trying to go to the Pro Bowl. We don't have any of those guys in any of these teams. Like, everybody's all about winning. All three of those teams had a solid group of core players, whether it's special teams, offense, or defense. And all three of these teams, we have incredible leaders. On the Broncos, of course, we had DeMarcus Ware and Peyton Manning, and with the Rams, you got Matthew Stafford.
You're gonna say you and me.
Okay. With the Rams, we got Matthew Stafford and Aaron Donald and Andrew Whitworth, you know, big time OG voice in the locker room for us. And with the Buffalo Bills, I mean, you got Josh Allen, myself, Diggs, Gabe Davis, Jordan Poirier, Micah Hyde. So a very, very good group of high character guys, very good leaders on all three of those teams.
Bro, you brought up this chicken farm too many times. I need to know, bro, like, where this passion. Like, I've seen it over the years, you know, back when you and Derek Wolf, I did like a little interview about the chicken farm too. You know, you naming your chickens after individual players. Yep. But you also have a huge passion, because every time I see you, you got these tight jeans on, about to go golfing. Which one do you enjoy more? Is it golfing, chicken farming? Because as much as you talk about these chickens, bro, I've seen you in Vegas, and you always had your golf bags on, like, man, golf bag slung. All I'm going to is Top Golf, and you out there hitting 18 holes.
Okay, we got time, man. I swear to you, man. Like, it's nothing like golfing, man. Especially when you develop your game and you start to get a little bit better. Now you can play like 18 holes, and you can, you know, bogey the holes or whatever, and maybe put together some pars. When you start to develop your game, like, golf becomes like so enjoyable, especially if you're out there with your boys, even if I'm not out there with my boys, I could be out there with anybody. Just by with me playing the game and the whole aspect of the golfing outfit to the clubs to everything. Like, I enjoy everything about golf.
Yeah.
About golf. So if we're talking about what I enjoy the most, whether it's football, chicken farm, or golf.
We're gonna take football out of there. We're gonna take that.
I enjoy golf. I really do. I enjoy golf. Wow. I enjoy golf. Like if I could be the Von Miller of the golfing world, I would take that in a heartbeat. But I love my job. Like, I love my job. Right. I love playing football. This is what I want to do. This is my childhood dream. This is what I want to do. I'm living my dream. But there's nothing like golf. I enjoy golfing, and you know, chicken farming is good. You know, when the financials are good, you know, when money is always good. Like, I enjoy that. But if I don't want to be out there with chickens, you know, all day and on the chicken farm all day, I'd rather be on the golf course all day, if you ask me that. So I enjoy playing golf, and it's one of my passions for sure.
Man, I enjoy Top Golf is what I enjoy.
The chicken farm thing, man, the chicken farm, I didn't grow up raising chickens. I didn't grow up on no farm. Like, I grew up, I started hunting and fishing when I was a little kid, but I never really was like a farmer or anything like that. I went to Texas A&M.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I thought you always was a chicken farmer. Like,
I was in college. I took an easy class. You know, like most student athletes, I needed help with my GPA.
Took a little quick elective.
Yeah, elective meat production 101, poultry meat production 101. It was averaging an A-. I take the class, and it is easy. Like, I'm falling asleep every day. Like, I'm sleeping in class. My professor would wake me up, though. He would wake me up and make me come to the front of the class, and he would make me like regurgitate some of the stuff that we learned in class. And in turn, I started to listen to some of the numbers, and I'm like, man, you go to college to find your plan B. And I was like, hey, this is my plan B if I don't go to the league. You know, thank God I was able to go to the league, and I was able to be a chicken farmer as well. So it just started off by taking an easy class, man, for real.
Jeez. All right, like, come on. We it's Halloween, so I need to know, bro. Like, what's your favorite candy, bro? What's your top two favorite candies, and what's your bottom tier?
I would say, man, I know y'all gonna be a little bit disappointed in me, but I don't eat candy. I'm not a candy guy. Like, I never really was a candy guy, even when I was younger, but when I started playing football, like professionally, it was like, if I'm gonna let go of something, I'm gonna let go of candy. But you know, I've had the occasional sour punch straw before. Like, yeah. You know, I love the sour punch, and
yeah,
you know, I also love whenever I was eating candy, Starburst. You can't lose with Starburst or anything like that. And okay. You know, I like the small package of the Red Vines. You know, the Red Vines licorice. And I would say
how old are you for you to like look?
I'm just saying this, when I did eat candy, those were things that I like. And I would say my bottom tier would be just the basics, like candy. I'm not really a Snickers guy, or like Twix or Reese's. Reese's cups. Oh man,
overhyped.
It makes my stomach hurt right now.
Overhyped. So you'd be okay with candy corn. Young Vaughn and Ben running around the neighborhoods.
Yeah,
candy with corn. Candy corn.
Yeah, candy corn, cool, man. It's cool.
Oh no.
What about you? What's your top tier candy, and what's your lower tier candy?
Top tier, the little fun size Snickers, you throw them in the freezer, hitting on a different level. See, then Gobstoppers and Skittles or something, you know, the Sour Punch Kids.
They just banned Skittles in Japan.
Yeah, yeah. And where are we? It's America.
Skittles go hard too, man. I ain't gonna sit here and act like I'm too good for candy, but I don't eat candy. But I would agree with you on those candies.
Touche. Hey, you still throw them legendary Halloween parties? I'm just saying, you know, from Denver Broncos, you had the legendary joints. Legendary.
Oh man, so I am very proud of. My Halloween parties that I used to throw. I used to throw them, man. That was one of my things, man. Like, I don't like to toot my horn on too many different things, man.
When you decide to put a function together, it's always top tier.
First and foremost, man, I am a team guy. I can toot my horn on that. I am a team guy. Not only do I know my teammates, but I love my teammates. And you just can't love anything. I spend time with my teammates. I know about their kids, where they went to college, what makes them go, what doesn't make them go, like background stories, man. I know everything about my teammates. So I can't toot my horn on that. And then when it comes time to entertaining, which that falls into being a good teammate.
Knowing your teammates.
When it comes to entertaining, like, man, like I can do that. I've studied the science of partying and entertaining, and I feel like I have that down packed. And one of the things that really makes it go, like for me, whenever I was entertaining, was it had to be like, I give you, so I love Halloween for one reason. You can get all of these uniforms. Everybody likes to dress up and be somebody that they're not. And then you have fun, and you got the alcohol, and it goes late, and you got all your boys. Like that's a function. For me, I've been sober for, I haven't had a drink of alcohol in about 98 days. So to have a really good party, you have to have like the alcohol element of it. And for me, not really a drinker either, man. Not really a candy guy. Not really a drinker, you know. So it's just.
So are you vegan now? Like, what's up?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not vegan. It's just
tapping into the vegan powers.
To be honest, Cam, man, you know, like, man, it's just something that I just wanted to try, man. Like, you know, the past for summer, we have our beverages, and you hang back. We grown men, but I just wanted to try something, man. I just wanted to try something new and different. And you know, it's different when you gotta be sober and you gotta stop drinking. It's different from wanting to be sober and wanting to not drink. And that's just where I am. And I got my kids, and you know, I just wanted to try something new, man. Is it pointless sometimes? Yeah, it does feel like that sometimes, but I'm just trying it, man. I'm just trying it, man. And I like where I'm at, man, to be honest. I think when I got traded, it was like, okay, like I can kind of let go of it. I think a lot of it was me holding on to the Halloween party. Me not, I had a huge FOMO problem, like fear of missing out. Like I had a huge problem that I want to have a party like every single year. And then when you get traded, it's like, okay, I'm not in charge of the Halloween party no more. And then we come here. The crazy thing is about it, when we came here, my teammates is asking me about it. It's like, so one, you gonna bring the Halloween party back in Buffalo? I'm like, I thought about it, but it's like, no, man. It's safe to say that those days are gone for me.
That makes sense, bro. I let go of the aux cord for the first time in like 8 years. Oh. Like, you know, locker room music, all that have always sort of been in charge. Big boom box. I got them blasting. I'm getting my guys right.
Just like me, yeah.
Man, and like this year, I was just like, hey, man, like y'all play whatever you want to play. So now, you know, you got the DB corner that is strictly sponsored by Young Boy. You know, you've got.
It turns into work, though. It really turns into work to try to please everybody in their musical taste.
No doubt. You used to have White Guy Wednesdays and, like, you know, like slow down Fridays. Yeah. You give out different vibes, Caribbean vibes, Saturdays. So,
have you thought about this, though, Cam? Have you thought about putting a DJ in the locker room? Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders and what he's doing. They have a DJ. I don't know if they have a DJ in their regular locker room, but for every game, they have a DJ in the locker room that's playing music.
You know what? If next season they make the playoffs and it becomes a winning formula, we may be able to integrate.
I mean, just think about it, like, because before the game, you should have a guy in charge of the energy element of the game. Like you,
right?
He's actually on a team. His job is to get everybody hype for the game, and we know football. It has a lot to do with energy too. Like if you have the right energy, you can go out there for that 3 hours and play at a level that you wouldn't normally play at.
Before a game, what you listen to? Is there a specific song? Is there a specific ritual? What you want?
So, over my 13 year career, obviously you're not gonna be able to have the same routine wherever you go. You play in different stadiums at different times and, you know, different locations. This game might be at 8:15, or you might play at 1. So things, you know, things come and go. Part of my routine, some things come and go. But what I will say is what I have to do before every game, right when I get in, I have to put my pads in my shorts immediately. Like while I still got on my street clothes, I have to put my pads in my pants. I have to put my phone on airplane mode. Like right when I get in, I put my phone on airplane mode. I don't want the urge to look at my phone, none of that. And the song that I have to hear before each and every game is Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight. And not just any the specific time that I have to hear it, you know how we go out with our pads on, they say defensive lineman come out. We go out and we do our warm up and then we come back in. As we are walking in, I have to hear that song. Y'all can play whatever y'all want the whole time we hear. But when we walking in from warm-ups, I have to hear it. And it's, I've done that for every single game in the National Football League.
I was never expecting you to be a Phil Collins guy before a game.
I'm not. It's just that song.
It speaks to you.
That song. Because he was like, I've been waiting for this moment my whole life. It just put me in this mode. Like, okay, I've been wanting to play football my whole entire life, and now I'm here. The moment is here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just kind of zone out and meditate, and I have to hear it all the way throughout the whole entire song. Like, don't transition the song at the end. Don't
cut me short. Let me ride.
With 8 seconds left, it has to be 0-0-0-0 for you to change the song. When that happens, like, I'm cool. It don't matter about nothing else. I'm good.
Okay.
What about you? What's on? What's your game routine?
Man, I don't know if I have one. I usually got to calm myself down. So I'm playing. If I'm too hype, then I got to bring myself down. I'll listen to Symphony Number 9. If I'm too low, I throw on whoever, you know, Thugger. I put on, you Future. Know, Broadway, Future, you know, gotcha. big Toxic King. You know what I'm saying? Like, but. At the same time, like right before we go out, you know, like after we do a group prayer, it's got to be something violent. So then, you know, it's either Avenged Sevenfold or it's young Marshall Mathers, you know what I'm saying? Eminem, yeah. Kim type stuff. Or it's, you know, it's 50 Cent, Get Rich, Die Try. It's Method Man. I go to that, you know, that beast mode, warrior mode. Like that's just that last activation. Like, all right, listen, we about to go put some hands on folks. Like, you know, I'm bringing hands to work. So somebody got to get blessed with these things. For so sure, I'm looking to strike first, and then like, oh yeah, it's time to pass rush now.
For sure, man. Like, I just gotta. If I'm too hype, I think of that as a blessing. Like, I've been in the moments where you feel like you gotta amp yourself up. But me being too hype, I love it, man. Like, I love being either neutral or too hype. I'm never like on the opposite side, like where I gotta hype myself up. I actually feel like it's a concert when we walk out there. I feel like okay. Because I've been to so many concerts and you see so many stars, so many big stars that have these stadium tours. And then when it's my turn, they'd be like, okay, like, this is my stadium. This is my concert. I'm going to perform for the people that's watching, man. I'm going to get sacks, make big time plays that have changed people's lives. Like, that's the type of mentality that I have out there. So I'm always on 10 and I enjoy being on 10 out there, man. And Cam, man, like, you know, I've been a big fan of you since day one, man. I can't. There's nothing that I'm going to tell you on this podcast that I haven't told you in person to your face, man. I love you, man. I appreciate you and your game, man. You're a family, man. You put family first, man. And that has been inspiring for me. It's been motivational for me, man. You've done everything right, man. And I see all the commercials with you on there, man. Like, I am so proud of you, man. And, you know, for the type of career that you've had from on the football field to off the football field doing podcasts and things like this, man, like, the future is so bright for you, man. And hopefully we might have our own show when we get done or something like that, man. Be on ESPN. They pay us the same amount that we're getting paid right now to play football, but we just get to shoot after this, man. It'd be great to have a TV show with you, Cam, later in the future, man.
But my dog.
But for now, man, keep doing you, man. Keep killing, man. And I'll always be a fan of you, fam.
I appreciate you, bro.
Field, if you ever need me, for anything, even if it's just like a little FaceTime for you to call one of your nephews or something, man, I'm open for it, man. I got you, man, forever, man. I appreciate you,
dude. Well, you've always been great like this, dude. Like I said, I appreciate you just for tapping in. Beyond that, bro, for, you know, being a beacon for other pass rushers, you know, edge rushers. Thank you for tapping in with me, bro. For anybody that knows, you know, Von's a legend. I'm going to continue saying legend, just legendary type things. Everything that you do, bro, on and off the field has been nothing short of amazing. So, again, appreciate you tapping in. And you know me, bro, my line's always open. I ain't got any avenues you got to go for. You text me, I text back. I'm like, what's good?
For sure.
I'm in that thing.
Of course, yeah, you do, for sure, man. He's not lying, guys. I don't hit him up, and he hit me right back, for sure. Man. But that TV show, that Cam and Vaughn, that the bookend, Cam and Vaughn, and we break down the pass rush for every single game in the National Football League.
Everyone said the bookends, yeah.
Or it could be just, you know, we could take the Michael Strahan route and we can have our own weather show. You know, we can have our own weather show.
It don't matter what it is.
It could be me and you, man, forever, man. I'm open for it, man, and I appreciate you, man. All love, man.
You know, I just got my gaming computer from Hank, bro. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, oh, I got a Vaughn special. Oh, okay.
Man, he does a good job. I'm on my gaming computer right now, man. I got the streaming PC, and I'm doing a podcast on this one, man. It's all love, man. Shout out Hank Baskets, man. Appreciate you, G.
Facts. Appreciate it. Hey, Thomas, get my guy out, man. Man, my guy Vaughn Miller is a legend. You know, everything that you want as a defense, as an edge rusher. Let's be clear about it. Everything you want as an edge rusher, Vaughn Miller encompasses. We talk about great leadership qualities, but his get off, his bend, and just the amount of times he gets home. He's a disruption. He's a calamity, if you will, which I had to explain what that meant to my guy, Jamal Williams, earlier yesterday, is what it is. But he's a calamity, a walking calamity. Vaughn Miller, I appreciate him tapping in with Off the Edge, the podcast. And that's it for the show. Thank you for tuning in, tapping in. I appreciate you guys for listening to me, listen to the podcast. Thanks, Vaughn, for always tapping in with knowledge. Appreciate it. I'm going to say, tell your friends about us. Just two draft class 2011. Hopefully legends. Well, he's a legend. I'm working on being a legend. Give us a 5-star rating. Leave a review. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, wherever you get your podcasts. Just know you just heard something legendary. All right. Y'all take it easy. Peace.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.